So I have a confession to make this morning. I'm an idealist. I like the ideals, the perfect ideas. I like to think about how things should be and could be. I like the parts of the Bible that call me to this ideal life, the way things should be. I love to picture that perfection. Parts like this. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Some of you probably recognize that, and maybe didn't even know it was from the Bible. In the 1960s, Martin Luther King Jr. said those words to a listening country, "Let justice roll down like waters." It was from the book of Amos in the Old Testament, a book of prophecy. God, through the prophet Amos, told his people that it was nice to hear songs and get the sacrifices, but that he didn't want any more songs and sacrifices unless they were accompanied by justice and righteousness. He didn't want to just hear words. He wanted to see a life where we lived justice. We know that God values justice. He holds it up as something we're supposed to pursue, justice. People being treated fairly and honestly, not taking advantage of other people. God is justice, and he loves justice. And I like that. I also like this. We know that God values goodness. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "Make sure no one pays back wrong with a wrong, but always pursue the good for each other and everyone else." That's one of those ideals, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. The Bible calls us to do good to everyone. We often talk about here at Central the shalom life, the life that is things in right relationship with each other, people in right relationship with each other. Shalom life calls us to justice and to goodness. When I talk about these ideals, I feel happy and strong and determined. It feels like the things that God is about and the Bible is about, there are things that I should be about, and it makes me feel strong and good. Yeah, let's go for that. Let's do it. Now, let's keep that in mind as we begin our story of Jesus today. We're following along in the book of Mark as we have been since the fall, and we have come again to this last week of Jesus' earthly life. And it started with the joy of all the crowd. You might remember a few weeks ago we talked about when he entered the city and right, everybody was shouting, "Hosanna, Jesus is King. Yay, Jesus, we like Jesus," right? And that was the beginning of the week and then it just started to go downhill from there, right? And today we are at Thursday night and the night is dark. One of Jesus' best friends has betrayed him to the religious leaders. Another friend we talked about last week, Peter, has denied he even knows Jesus, even to the point of swearing and cursing that he doesn't know Jesus. And right at the same time as Peter is denying he even knows him, Jesus is meeting with religious leaders who are trying to find a reason to have him killed. So what do? They bring in people to tell out lies and stories about Jesus. In fact, commentaries tell me that there were apparently people who often stood outside governmental places who were paid to tell lies. And perhaps they were some of these people. They were coming in and they were probably good liars. I mean, if they're getting paid for it, they're probably good at it, right? And so these lying people are coming in and they're making up stories about Jesus so that the religious leaders can find a governmental reason to have him killed, right? There's only one problem. Their stories don't match. So they're telling one thing and it's not matching the other. So the chief priest is having a problem, right? Okay, I'm not getting one story yet. So he turns to Jesus and he says, are you going to answer these stories? What do you have to say about these things these men are saying about you? And I love it in verse 61 of chapter 14. Before the days of Miranda rights, without a police officer saying to Jesus, you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Jesus, to all of these things, says nothing. Right? He's quiet. And then the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? Basically, he asks Jesus, are you the Son of God? Are you claiming to be God? And this time Jesus answers, I am. And that's enough for the high priest. He couldn't possibly believe that Jesus was telling the truth. Jesus couldn't be God. And so in his mind, Jesus had just done the worst sin of blasphemy, of claiming to be God when he wasn't. So now they have a legal right to go to the Roman government and say, this man needs to be killed by our religious law. And when did all of this happen? In the middle of the night, right? Out of the public eye, with lying and cheating and twisting words and not a proper trial with proper procedures, proving my mother's wisdom yet again, nothing good happens after midnight. So far, I'm not seeing a lot of justice and goodness. So let's see what happens when Jesus gets taken to Pilate, the Roman governmental leader. Justice? Goodness? Let me list for you some of the words and actions of the people around Jesus in this passage. In 14:56, the people lied about him. In verse 64, Jesus' words were twisted into a reason to kill him. In 15:3, he was accused over and over again. And in verse 10, Pilate knew that the chief religious leaders were envious and jealous, and that's why they were doing this. In verse 10, the chief priests were intentionally riling up, stirring up the crowd. And in verse 15, we have Pilate, a governmental leader, wanting to satisfy the crowd instead of doing the right thing. Do any of those sound like justice or goodness? What is going on here? It's not fair. God himself came to earth and he served and he taught and he healed and he loved and he did not tell anyone who he was. He stayed hidden. And for the first time in all of the book of Mark, he finally publicly says, I am the Son of God. I do have power in heaven, and I will use that power at the end of time. He finally says it, and it doesn't give him any power or any glory. It is his death sentence, and he knows it. He is honest about who he is, and it's the very reason given to kill him. Where is the justice? Where is the goodness? Let's go back to where I started for a moment. I'm an idealist. I like to see how things should be and could be. The problem with idealists is that sometimes when things are not as they should be, we give up. We lose heart. We give in to depression and despair because The world is not as it should be. But here is something I have learned about God in my now 48 years of life. God is bigger than ideas and idealism. I think God sees what can be and will be. And he knows how to get there from where we are, anywhere we are. And if we allow him to lead, he will lead us down the road of what can be and will be. The trick? Sometimes that road looks very different than what we want or expect. When Jesus first began his ministry, he stood up in a synagogue and read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Lord God's Spirit is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release for captives and liberation for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he spent the next 3 years doing that, preaching good news to the poor, to any who would listen, proclaiming freedom from the laws that bound up people and threw people out and held them captive, free from the curses and the judgments of others. He healed the sick and the blind, literally, and he opened the spiritual eyes of people as well. Now, as he's at the end of his earthly life and ministry, I think he fulfills the next verses in Isaiah. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a day of vindication for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for Zion's mourners, to give them a crown of beauty in place of ashes, oil of joy in place of mourning, a mantle, a coat of praise in place of discouragement. God is going to take the injustice, the ashes, the discouragement, the despair. He is meeting us at all the places of darkness where we are right now. Jesus experienced all the injustice that we have experienced. He entered our world fully. He proved that God can and will do what Paul wrote in Romans 8, 28. We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. God took the injustice done to Jesus, and through that unfair, he began to work things together for good. God doesn't get stuck on what should and could be. He moves out of the ideals into the real life. God is always at work at what can and will be. And if we will follow Jesus, we can join him in that work. Our lives can be a living example of that work. Several years ago, Matt and I met an artist named Shane Grammer. He's one of those people who sees the potential in pain, the beauty in the ashes. His most recent project that's kind of still ongoing is in his hometown of Chico, California, where the wildfires took out so many homes and businesses and trees. Watch this short clip with me to see how Shane builds beauty out of ashes. God can work good and beauty even from injustice. It doesn't mean we shouldn't keep fighting for justice, especially for others. We should. Clearly, God has asked us to do so. But it does mean that when we are in the middle of things that don't feel fair, or good, or just, we don't have to give up. God sees what can and will be. So what can we do? We can surrender the way that we want it to be. We can accept the way it is now. And we can follow God's steps to the way it can and will be. I've found that most of us spend a lot of our time and energy wishing and maybe even praying that our circumstances will change. But maybe we should stop praying for our circumstances to change and start asking God what our next step is. Maybe we should stop regretting what got us here and start asking God where we're going. Maybe we should stop blaming others for where we are and start asking God where he wants us to go next. Maybe we should stop closing our eyes to our circumstances, escaping, running away, and start asking God to open our eyes to see where he is, even in our ashes. Because he took the injustice done to Jesus, and he made something beautiful. 2 more weeks, friends. 2 more weeks until we get to that part of the story. You don't know how much longer your story is until you get to the good part. So don't give up. God is still here. The story is still being written. Don't give up. Let's pray.